You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
Are we on the air?
Yes, sir. We are on the air.
Well, boy, what happened was we got sidetracked here talking about useless information.
No, not useless. It was very valuable.
Which, what was it?
The hurricane damage in the Keys. Well, and what's going to go there in their place? You know, what's going to replace what's
been damaged? Mike and I were just talking about that. Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, is here. Vince Rosino, CPA, is here. Joe Martech, financial advisor, is here. For those of you that haven't listened to the show, Team Martech has been doing radio shows since 2004, and the concept was simple. As a financial advisor, I really cannot answer all the questions that people have, so you have to, if you're a credible professional, surround yourself with other credible professionals to the benefit of your client. So the first two people that we put together were Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, who's not here today, Greg Fasula, attorney, who's not here today, Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, who was here earlier today on the morning
show. Not on this show.
No, on 1590 AM, which we do every Wednesday at 11 AM, 1590 AM. Those of you that are faithful listeners, you might want to listen to that show too. But we do have Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, here today, and we have Vince Rosino, CPA, today. And in fact, Vince, you sent out a email regarding some of the government is now suggesting that if you have a hardship, you might qualify for help with your mortgage.
Yes, it depends on the lender, and Mike, you probably could address this even more than I could, but you can request, and it has to be a request. You have to go to your lender and explain the circumstances to them, and if they're Florida lenders, they'll already know. But you can get postponement or an abeyance.
They don't pay to make the payment, but you don't have to. You can skip a payment and not have a penalty.
Right.
And not
have, you'll still accrue the interest. The interest will be accrued, but you won't have the payment.
You won't have the payment. Well, you know, people that are out of work for a period of time, or let's just say you've got a wind deductible of $5,000 on your house, mm-hmm. and you're trying to repair your house. I mean, this is a major catastrophe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would be very surprised if a lender did not work with a consumer that experienced some hardships during the hurricane.
Can work with them.
Correct. Yeah.
Especially after all the debacle of the recession and with the lenders were...
Exactly. They're more accustomed to dealing with these scenarios now because of the hardships, you know, they've seen in the last... throughout the recession and all these other disasters.
But I think that's something that people don't realize.
Yeah.
And that's why I sent it out to clients and now over the air so everybody knows.
Well, it's a good thing to know. So if you're in a hardship situation, call your lender and explain your hardship.
Yeah.
And right now, because it's an official program, the lenders will probably be cooperative in trying to help you get through this. Yeah.
Now, period. They may ask you to provide evidence that you did experience a hardship.
Of course.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they should. You know, there's the fact that when one of the callers we had, by the way, folks, write this phone number down. This is an important thing. If you're going to pay attention to this show, you're supposed to be writing this down so you can call us in. This is a class. 1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. When I say it's a class, we have over 200 years of combined experience.
And you make up most of that, Joe.
No, really, Vince does.
No, he's over half of it. I can tell you that. He's over half.
And we don't even have our guest.
And he's older than I am.
We don't even have our guest attorney, Alan Love, here, who's with him. We'd only owe 300 years of experience.
That's right.
Where is Alan?
Well, the concept is, Mike, you're what, almost 30 years in the mortgage business?
Yeah, just about that. Coming up on it.
Wow. See, what I'm trying to say is when we add up all these years of experience in these different fields,
It's well over 100.
One of the perks of getting old is experience.
Mm-hmm.
And,
that's true.
And
that's true.
And literally, we've been able to help a lot of people over the years answer questions that we take for granted, kind of, most of them. But there's always something new. You know, Vince, it just amazes me after all the years we've been alive and all the stuff that comes up. Invariably, somebody comes up with something new that we don't know, and then we have to go find out. But we have the sources and the resources.
It happens to me every day.
Well,
because some new wrinkles, something comes out, a client calls me and asks me a question, and I wind up having to go dig in the research.
Well, I always come up with some interesting questions for you.
You do. That's true. He does.
And the tax code's only 70,000 pages. No, I know you've got it all memorized.
I do. If you believe that one, try another one.
And then Mike.
But the question of, you know, Mike was asking about is there any real relief from the IRS that you're getting on these retirement programs?
Right.
You are in certain circumstances, but not across the board. They don't relieve you of penalties. They don't relieve you of the taxes on the money you take out, except to the extent you take out your own money. Like if it's, you know, part, like some people have IRAs that was partially deductible and some was not deductible. If you take out the non-deductible piece, the ones you never got a tax benefit on in the first place, then you could
take. And if you have
out
a 401k at work, under most circumstances, you can borrow money against it. This is a tax-free loan, and you've got up to 5 years normally to pay it back. They're going to charge you interest, but on the other hand, it's a wonderful thing. Let's just say they charge you 5% and you're earning 5%. Well, then it's going to be a wash, you know. So you
and it goes back into your account. So you're really paying yourself. You're borrowing from your own bank, and you're paying yourself back.
But if you have an IRA, there isn't any relief.
You can't I mean, you know, we kind of exhausted that, and you know what? I found it to be pretty amazing too, Mike. When you asked that question, I said,
"Well,
this doesn't sound right because they're touting it as relief."
Yeah, and I don't
but
see
it really
any relief.
Isn't relief in there because it, you know, I even sent over to Mike the notice the IRS sent out. It said pretty clearly in there, we're not relieving you of the penalties or the tax.
I mean, what good is it?
Yeah,
you know. The key is this, and I've had numerous people over the last whatever period of time ask me about taking money out of an IRA or a 401k. The key is this: if you take money out of an IRA and you're not 59 1/2 or older, there's a 10% penalty plus tax.
Income tax, yeah. So even if you're in a low bracket, say 10%, you got another 10, so you're 20%
tax. You got 20% tax.
Right,
I had a common client that you know that wanted 40 or 50 grand to go buy something, and I added up. He's in the top tax bracket. I said, you're going to lose half the money between tax and penalty to take money out of IRAs.
It's usually not a good idea.
No. Now, the 401k, you borrow.
Borrow, yeah.
You know, that's,
or if you have a whole life insurance policy, you might go that route, too.
You can borrow. Now, what do we have?
Well, I have a question for Mike. A young lady called in and didn't want to go on the air, but she wanted me to ask Mike a question. And this is, she is interested in going into the restaurant business and purchasing commercial property.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, is this something that you handle? In terms of mortgages for commercial property?
Yeah, we can help with commercial loans. There might be a better way to do that, because if you have equity in your house, it's you get much more favorable terms if you take out, like, say, a cash-out refinance on your residence and then use that for business purposes. But, yeah, we can help with investment purchases for commercial as well.
Okay.
Now, did you give her Mike's number?
I will. Well, I did not.
But you got her name and number.
I got her name and number.
Mike can call her back.
I'll give that to you, Mike.
Yeah, I'll give her a call tomorrow.
Because this sounds like a first time, is there any other advice? There may be other people out there that are thinking of this. Any other advice you might give them?
Yeah, there's SBA loans out there that...
Explain what SBA means.
SBA is a government-backed loan from the Small Business Association. And what that does is, a lot of times they'll give you up to 90% financing on commercial properties. Mm-hmm. They'll also tie in some commercial equipment that you can tack in there. Normally what they'll do is they'll tie up your primary residence too. So you have to be aware of the pluses and minuses of SBA loans. They'll typically put a lien against the commercial property, and they'll lien your house as well. Let's say you take out $1 million SBA loan. Well, you may have a $300,000 house, but they're still going to lien that property for $1 million. So you just have to be aware of that.
Okay.
So what Mike will do is educate, obviously, this lady or anybody else that's looking about starting a business. And it's another thing that Vince and I constantly...
I'm familiar with them. I go through it all the time with clients. How? And Mike is right, and you have to be cautious about it.
And there's a lot of interesting products out there for commercial loans. We have truly no income verification loans for commercial uses. Hmm. Now, those types of loans pretty much went by the wayside for residential. They still exist for residential commercial use, like rental properties, multifamily rentals, but they're pretty much readily available for true commercial properties, like if you're buying a restaurant.
1-888-221-8990. Write that number down. 1-888-221-8990.
You know, since before we get too far off track with the storm, I just wanted to make our listeners aware that there is a FHA program out there. It's called a FHA 203H program. And it's meant to help displaced people who maybe were renting a property and their rental property became uninhabitable. And FHA is offering 100% financing. If you can document that you were displaced because of the storm, that's 100% financing FHA loan. It's a great program.
You know, there's always been good things available that the average person isn't going to know about unless they listen to somebody like us, Mike, mm-hmm. or, you know, one of the things that's been, I know, for all the years that we've been doing this, all the TV commercials or radio or talking heads would come up, oh, there's no financing available, you can't do this, you can't mm-hmm. do that. There's always been 100% financing on USDA. USDA yep. program. There's always been VA programs that mm-hmm. were another 100%.
Yeah, this is a program, obviously, that's not available all the time because it's only for disaster victims. But we had situations where we had major flooding up in Fort Pierce, and some rental communities were totally, uninhabitable.
Right.
So all those people were just, you know, out on the street. So this is a program that folks like that can take advantage of.
The key is this. The best thing to do is they can call you. You'll let them know within 15 minutes or 20 minutes what they can or cannot qualify based on their circumstances.
Yeah, then I'll make it known to them what programs are available. There's hundreds of mortgage programs out there.
Yeah,
it's not just a standard 30-year conventional anymore. There's USDA financing, FHA financing, different types of FHA financing.
Yep.
So there's a lot of different programs.
1-888-221-8990.
Look who's here.
888-221-8990.
We were just asking about
it. We got a messy Jew that just showed up.
He loves you for that one.
He loves me for that one. Happy Rosh Hashanah.
Well, thank you. I was at my favorite Greek restaurant up in Vero having a Rosh Hashanah lunch with some other messy Jews and got hit with one heck of a rainstorm.
Got you slowed down a bit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sorry,
when I pick on Alan Love, who most of you, if you listen to this show, know he's a retired prosecuting attorney originally from Wisconsin, and he's kind of like a guest. He's not a member of the team, but he might as well be. He's a guest, and he imparts some good information on occasion. And Alan, a few years ago, decided to become a born-again Christian, and that does not make him a Messianic Jew, which I prefer just to call him a messy Jew because he looks like a rabbi they kicked out of the temple. I know, he's ignoring me right now.
He is ignoring you. Joe, while we're waiting for Alan, just want to remind the listeners, you know, we want to talk about casualty losses as well. For those that experience damages that they're not getting reimbursed, the IRS will allow you to take it back to last
year.
Would
that include, say,
IRS allows you to
the
do
deductible?
What?
There is subject to a 10% of AGI.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a phone call here, and we'll interrupt this. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, Joe.
Hello.
How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm better than good. Thank you.
I see Irma didn't like you, so she left you.
Hey, you know what? Sometimes it's a good thing when women leave.
I think it's pretty common for you, though, Joe.
Joe, now is complete understanding why you've been married so many times.
You kind of set me up for that one, caller. That was pretty good.
I'm driving and I hear you talking about mortgage, so I would like to ask you gentlemen to shed some light on disaster forbearance on your mortgage payment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Well, what happened was
I'll be listening, so I'm gonna disconnect. That's all that I wanted to ask.
All right, thank you so much. And listen, I want to just share a story with you. I've got a client that's Spanish, and her first name is Terencia, and a good part of these storms are her fault because they're relatives of her, Jose and Maria. They're chasing her down. Okay, anyway, thank you for calling in, and Mike will answer this, and if you have any questions anytime, you know to call us.
Yes, sir, thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, what happened was Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, who are the ultimate purchasers of the conventional loans, they set a note down that they're going to allow on all their loans up to a 3-month forbearance. So you do have to demonstrate that you had a hardship. So if you didn't experience any kind of financial damage, then you probably wouldn't qualify for that. But let's say you were out of work for a week or 10 days and you had to make some repairs on your house, then you can probably demonstrate that through some receipts and maybe a couple of pay stubs or lack thereof. Because you were out of work, then that would certainly demonstrate your financial hardship.
Who do you contact, Mike, to find out about that?
You would definitely have to call your lender, right, who's servicing your loan.
Right.
Call them up. Just let them know that you want to apply for that. They're probably going to ask you to fill out some paperwork and supply some documentation.
There you go. But the key is saying, when you say forbearance, that means you may not have to make 2 or 3 payments, but that you don't lose the liability of owing the money.
Right. They cannot report you as late on your credit report.
Yeah,
right.
That's the most important thing. That, it's not a credit, very, you're not a credit,
it's not,
fault.
It's not a credit problem.
Now, listen, that doesn't mean that you don't eventually have to make up those payments, because what they'll do is they'll tack them on the end.
Right.
And that will incur some additional interest for you over the lifetime of the loan. So, it helps you in the short run, but it may not be the best financial decision in the long run.
Well, what you have to do is find out what the story is, and the way you find out is to call your lender. Yeah. But the reality is this: if you're living paycheck to paycheck and you've lost a couple of paychecks or three, and you can't make the payment, you call up your lender and say, hey, this is my situation, and because of this, then you might qualify for it. And the second thing that happens, and you brought it up, wind deductibles are substantial. Mm-hmm. If you own your house and you've got a 2 or 3% or 4% wind deductible on $200,000, that's $4,000 or $5,000 that you are responsible for. So now you got a double-edged sword. Now you got to come up with the money to repair your house that the insurance doesn't pay. So once your lender understands your situation, you might get some help.
Now, that $4,000 deductible, Vince, would that be tax deductible with the IRS?
It would be considered a loss, yes. Yeah. It would fall into the pot with everything else. Mm-hmm. You'd have to compare your actual loss to what you got reimbursed for. Mm-hmm. And basically that forms the pot. Then you're subject to a threshold, 10% of your adjusted gross income.
Mm-hmm. If you had if it made a bad year for you, and let's face it, all these things are, you talk to your accountant, your CPA, when it comes to calculating these. And that's one of the things that we're here for, is to try to push you in the right direction to help you. You know, we don't call it tax evasion, we call it tax avoidance.
That's right.
If we don't have to give that money in the form of taxes, then don't do it.
Yeah.
I mean, the bottom line is the tax code is not there to penalize. The tax code there is technically to collect money from those that can afford to pay.
And if you're encouraged to take advantage of every possible deduction.
Of course.
Everyone. Hey, and if you don't do it, you're just being foolish.
Yeah.
Hey, or just ignorant. And that's why you need professionals to help you.
We're coming into the last quarter of the year, so I mean, it might be a good time to do some tax planning. And last year we talked about a solo 401k, but I know those accounts have to be established in a certain time period.
Right.
Do you want
to? It has to be. It has to be done before the end of the year.
You can do it in November or December.
Yes, you can do it in November and December, but before the calendar year elapses, you have to have them in place. There's some flexibility on the other end about funding them. You do have a lot of flexibility on the
side. So you set it up technically.
But you have to set it up technically. And now, we didn't get into it, but there was other relief from the IRS besides the retirement programs. Anybody who's on extension, for example, normal extension till October 16 has until the end of January to file their tax return.
Now, I shouldn't even tell them that
because we're doing the happy dance.
Certain clients of mine will probably wait till January, Mike. So my tax season just got extended.
I get this email from Mike.
But you still have the penalty and interest accumulating.
Of course.
Well, No.
Not with the extension.
They're extending the due date, and there won't be any interest or penalties for that extended period due to the
hurricane. Hold off on that paperwork I just gave you.
I sent you that notification.
Wait a minute.
You didn't read it.
My accountant sent me a memo this last week, an email said, hey, your taxes are ready. You didn't tell me in there I have till January now.
Well, I was going to tell you when you picked them up that you don't have to pay them. I want them out of my office.
Stay, stay with me for a minute. Do I have to file by the end of October?
No.
I have to file by the end of
October, by the end of January.
By the end of January.
Okay.
But once you file, then the interest becomes.
If you file, then you'd have to pay it at the time, and then
the interest would accumulate.
So, of course, why would you file if you owe money and you don't intend to pay it?
There you go.
We were going to talk about that, but you didn't give me a chance.
We just talked about that.
But no. I did send you
happy
an email
dance. Mike and I are both doing a happy dance.
Yeah, I'm going to dance with you.
I did send out an email on that.
I know, but I didn't. But you skipped the part that I had till January. You just said your taxes are ready. Get in here now.
Oh, that's the late. That's what I told you. Get in here and look at them because I want them out of my office. I don't care if you're filing. Give me the e-files and then tell me to push the button in January. I can do that.
It has been a couple of hectic weeks.
Nope.
So.
Yeah. It really, for all of us.
Yes.
You know, I mean, listen, my boat didn't get sunk. Your boat didn't get sunk.
My boat was on the trailer.
My boat was going to go to Fort Myers.
Well,
wouldn't that have been a disaster?
Good thing it didn't.
Let me take a caller here. Caller's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, Joe. Good afternoon. So I have a 401k with my previous employer.
Okay.
And I'm no longer there, and I'm working at another company. It's the same Fidelity, but now a 403b. What do I do with the one that I have with my previous employer?
Well, this is an easy one for me. 99% of the people in the world roll that away from that employer because it's no longer then under the control of the employer, and they roll it into what's called an IRA, an individual account. This is a tax-free rollover, as long as you don't put the money in your pocket. And you now have an account that's called an individual retirement account. Same basic rules as the 401k, meaning you can't take money out until you're age 59 and a half without a penalty. After 59 and a half, you take money out. There is no penalty, but it always will be subject to tax. And the other part of the rule is when you turn 70 and one half, if you haven't taken money out, they require you to start taking out what they call a required minimum distribution every year. But literally, that's it. So almost always, the normal is when you leave an employer, they're no longer contributing to it, and the money is sitting there invested in whatever that the investments are, not under necessarily your control, but you roll it into yours. You now have a person like me or another advisor who can look at you and say, hey, here's what you can do, and we're going to look at your goal and how we can accomplish your goal. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. So I don't know, like, who should I go to?
Have you heard of a guy named Joe Martek?
Yeah, I hear you on the radio.
Isn't that amazing? Do you know what I do for a living?
Financial consultant? I don't know.
Very good. Financial advisor. That's exactly what I do. So bottom line is what we'll do is this. You left your name and number with Pastor Dave. I'll give you a call back tomorrow, and we'll talk more, and we'll set up a time, and we'll visit and see if we can do what's in your best interest.
Oh, thank you very much, Joe.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And her best interest and dividends, too.
You know it's an interesting thing. Just because I'm a financial advisor, that means I'm a philanthropist, right?
Yes.
That means I don't have to
work. Well, they figure you advise, but you don't do anything.
I don't do anything. Mike, it's like you help people get mortgages, but but you send them to somebody else so you don't get paid.
That's right.
It makes perfect sense to me. And Vince, same thing. You do accounting for people, but you send them to somebody else to do all the paperwork so they get paid.
Yeah, I know. An advisor just advises them. They don't make money.
Isn't this a terrible title?
It is.
I mean, literally.
Financial advisor, pay for free.
But that's the title they give you. But, you know, and I've had.
But you're a good Christian, though.
Well, you know, being a good Christian, if you ever notice, even a pastor gets paid.
That's true.
You know, that is true. You always come up with logical answers.
I mean, it's pretty. To be a philanthropist, you have to have a lot of money.
Yes. You have to be able to otherwise have a lifestyle.
You know, paid for. You know, hey. Or you have to have a rich wife.
You're still working
those
on that.
Those are really hard to come by.
Joe's tried hard.
Alan, you understand that one, rich wives?
Absolutely. I wish I had one.
I know. We're all looking. We're all looking for the
key. My wife had $1.87 in her checkbook when I married her.
Yeah, boy. What was it? What
you
was
know, back then, that was a lot of money. What was it?
What was it?
Yeah, 1842. That was a lot. Yeah.
What was it? The wife was talking to the husband, and she goes, yeah, the bank called me today and said I was overdrawn on my account. And he said, well, what'd you do? He says, well, I went down there and wrote him a check.
On the same account.
Well, of course.
I don't think you would qualify for a mortgage.
I don't think so, right. 1-888-221-8990. Now, this lady that just called, this is a subject that, again, we take for granted every day. And this is a constant thing that happens in my business. People have an existing account. Whether it's a regular IRA, a 401k, a Roth IRA, or a non-qualified, which means it wasn't money that was put aside, not paid tax on, you don't have to stay where you are. It's your money. People say, and I actually literally had somebody call me and said, I'm with this bank. How do I get out of the bank? I said, you go to another bank, write a check, and open an account and take the money out. Really? I can do that. Well, you know, if you weren't ever taught,
but you don't want to do that with retirement money.
No, but you can do that with retirement
you
money.
You can, but you don't want to.
No. Well, literally what happens is this. Let's just say you go to your bank and you take all the money out and you put it in your checking account. And you go to another bank and you write a check and open up account. Technically, that's legal. But let me tell you, the Internal Revenue might audit you because they are...
No, I don't about audit you, but they do get reported.
They will get reported.
Anything, in fact, these days I heard even over 5,000 they're reporting that.
Well, they should. Yeah. And they should, because money laundering and abuses that go on are rampant. And in fact, you and I, and especially you and I, and Mike, you too, and legal, I mean, let's face it.
Yeah, we have to take anti-money laundering classes and
constantly
courses.
And everything I do when it comes to our continuing education courses, money laundering is the biggest single subject going. Mm-hmm. And they're constantly giving examples.
And I stay clear of it. I've had a few two potential clients over the last 2 years that were taking money from family members overseas and bringing it in and saying they were using it as a means to fund their and going through the business.
The bottom line is
just stay away from that.
Stay away, you know, and I'll tell you what a monster red flag it is. And a guy like you, Mike, or you, Vince, or me, Joe, we have licenses and credentials. Yeah. We could lose those in a heartbeat.
Yeah, and most people don't know. By law, we have to report that activity.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a forever thing. In fact, and you know, this is I showed up at one client's house some years ago, and he gave me $10,000 in cash. I said, I can't take it. He goes, why not? I said, it's against the law. It's a minor little thing. Let's take it down to the bank. He said, well, won't the bank report me? And I says, yeah, but how did you get that $10,000? And he says, well, I've been saving it over a period of years from this and that. I said, you have a perfect answer. You didn't money launder. You know, so you want to go put $5,000 in this week and next week, but they may report you anyway because cash is quite reportable. But I cannot take cash. I cannot take a check made to me. They don't even like me taking a cashier's check. They like personal checks. That's just a rule. So the key thing is this: when we open the account, and the checks are never made to a person, they're made out to a company.
Mm-hmm.
You wonder how guys like Bernie Madoff stole all this money. When people just trusted him and said, here.
That's different. He had the money, probably came to him legally. No. It's just what he did with it when he got it.
No, but you cannot take money. If you're a security.
No, I'm talking about cash. You're saying how he got away with it. Madoff probably took money from the average investor from million, not average.
Oh, he might have taken it out of their account.
Yeah, he could have taken it out of their account, and he probably did.
Well, you know what happens is this. Let's stay with that thought for a minute. You know how hard it is for me to get money out of somebody's account? It's almost impossible, because the only money they can get, it has to go to their address of record. A check has to be made out to them to their address of record, or I have to have an ACH agreement, which is their bank account signed by them.
There's only one difference between you and Bernie.
Only one?
He's in jail.
No, that is, he found out a way to do it illegally. Well, you're talking about the legal ways to do it.
I'm talking illegal.
Yeah, of course. Well, of course. There's all kinds of rules, and as you know, the rules are bent and broken.
A thief is a thief. A liar's a liar, a cheat's a cheat. You know, and I have people say, Joe, what are your credentials? And I say, here they are. But let me just tell you something. Credentials are worth two dead flies, as far as I'm concerned, because if a person's a crook, they're going to be a crook, and they're going to find a way around.
Yeah. But just because someone deals with cash doesn't necessarily mean
make
they're
crooks. No,
you know, it's still America, and you can still deal with cash transactions. For it now, just makes it very difficult to invest and also to use for mortgage.
In some businesses, yes. But in my business, no. You know, I cannot accept cash, period, under it. And let me tell you, my compliance and my tests and the ethics, these are questions I have to answer. Have you ever? Will you ever? Have you thought about it?
Have you thought about it? Wow. The thought police.
You know, it's like we were talking. Anyway, we've been talking about penny stocks from time to time, and penny stocks are ones that are below the threshold of being controlled, usually by major stock exchanges. They trade what they call over the counter, and they're a little bit more difficult to buy and sell. Well, most broker dealers, by the way, folks, the ones that most of us know the name are like Merrill Lynch or Smith Barney or Dean Witter. Mine is called Centaurus Financial, and there's like 600 independent broker dealers in America. But what happens is a penny stock means it's high risk, and I'm talking high risk. So let's just say Mike Paulus calls me up and says, hey, Joe, I want to buy 10,000 shares of this XYZ share stock at 10 cents a share. He's got to sign a form that says, I certainly didn't advise it. In fact, I probably advised him against it. In fact, I'm not even sure I know who you are. I definitely...
You're not a client of mine.
You know,
I wished you were.
I don't even know who you are, but I'm willing to take your money. But understand, you're going to lose it all. I mean, that's how stringent the piece of paper is that you have to sign.
That makes it very enticing.
Yes. It's high risk.
In other words, and they have a picture next to it, Mike, of a guy with the rope tied around him.
Yeah.
Forcing him to take this money.
You make it sound so great.
Isn't that the truth? Well, people say, but it's 10 cents a share. What if it goes to 20 cents? I said, you double your money. Well, what if you lose all 10 cents? Are you willing to lose every dime of the money you put in? If they say no, then I say, well, I'm not going to take your money.
No.
Well, I don't care what you say.
It all comes down to suitability, Joe, right? Isn't that the term?
Well, the answer is yes and no. On penny stocks, you don't have to be suitable.
No?
You just have to be crazy.
Oh. So in other words, you wouldn't recommend that to somebody who's putting all their life savings
Never.
Into it. But what if somebody's a multimillionaire and they want to buy $10,000
well,
of penny
stocks? Let me give you this. If I took a new account form, which I have to fill out with a client every time they do business, and I have to list their occupation and what their assets are and if they own a house or what experience they have, and if they had $5,000 and that's all they had to their name and they put all $5,000 into a penny stock, my broker dealer would turn it down. They would not accept.
Exactly. But what if they were multimillionaires and wanted to do the same thing?
Then they can do it.
Okay.
Because now they're sophisticated.
Yeah. Suitability.
You're right. They've got to hit that rule. So I've had clients that said, okay, Joe, here's $50,000. Can we take $500 or $1,000 and put it into this crazy stuff? Because you never know. And I said, hey, you'll get passed. But still, I've got to send in the form ahead of time and get it approved ahead of time before I can even do that. Because high risk.
It's even higher risk if you take out a margin loan against the investments.
Now you have to qualify as a margin loan, though, you have to have a substantial net worth, usually about $1 million in order to get on margin.
Oh, I don't know about that, Joe.
Well,
$1 million?
$200,000 worth of income.
Depends on how much you want to borrow.
Yeah. How much you want to borrow. Okay, let me just answer this call. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Well, hello, Joe Martek. The first time I've heard your you on the radio, and they hear that there's a Christian free advisor. So I feel very blessed that I am driving through Florida or in this area of Florida and got to speak to you, and if I may, ask a question.
However, you said one word in there that scared me to death, and that was the word free.
It's a relative term, right?
You might not have listened to the part that I am not a philanthropist. However,
I probably didn't,
but we do as our group, which encompasses six local professionals. We answer questions for people and help any way we can. We're all blessed people. Life has been extremely good for everybody, and unfortunately none of us are young, even though I have other people sitting here look older than me. Unfortunately, I'm the oldest.
You are. You look the oldest.
I look. No, that's not true. Don't listen to him.
That gives you the most experience.
Well, I may be the oldest. I'm 65, and I'm looking at retiring. And that is what part of my question.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm trying to work until I'm 66, but
right.
Because of a sort of mild medical condition, it comes and goes. It's chronic. And I was looking at where some money that I have, where I should put them. If I retire, I'm a teacher in Florida. So I'll have block for the retirement system benefits.
Right, right.
And that's a guarantee. If I leave it with the Florida state, of course, the guarantee benefit. And it's sort of like Social Security if we're still, you know, in the state that we're
right,
in now.
Right.
And then with some other money that I have, I've got it invested in Vanguard, and other financial people that I have spoken to suggest an annuity for me to have all guaranteed money because of my condition. And I'm like, I don't know if that sounds right.
What happens is this, and this is not an easy one to answer because every person's an individual. And what you have to look at is say, hey, I'm 65. I'm now going to retire when I'm 66 in a few months so I can get full Social Security benefit. Here's my savings. Here's my retirement benefits. What's in my best interest? Now, every single person is different, and we try to work backwards to say, can we accomplish your goal without taking risk? Sometimes the annuity contract can work. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. So there's no easy answer over the phone. What I normally do, Linda, is I sit with people and we look and we beat this thing up a bit. And normally my job is to educate you so that you can make an intelligent decision on which ways to go. I was talking to a client yesterday that's got a couple of $100,000, half of an IRA, half is not. And they're probably going to transfer that money into some other investments. But I said, you know, you want to keep a certain amount of that money in the bank. Because you're looking at short-term and long-term. So it's not an easy equation until that you sit down and actually analyze it. Am I making sense?
Yes, you sure are.
So what I'm suggesting...
I understand.
Yeah, what I'm suggesting we do, which we can't do on the radio, I will give you a call tomorrow, and we'll set up a time we can talk either on the phone or in person and see if we can accomplish your goal. And remember this guy, Free Martek. I think he died, but that's okay.
We didn't have it. It's okay.
Hey, I've seen that sign on the outside of the courthouse.
Yeah, yeah.
Free Martek.
Oh, yeah, wait a minute. Wrong one. That's my other relative. Anyway. All right. So let's do this. Thank you so much. I've got your phone number, and we'll give you a call tomorrow, and we'll talk about this. Is there a best time to call you, or does it make any difference?
Oh, it doesn't make any difference.
Okay. I'll give you a buzz, and if we miss each other, you'll have my cell phone number, and we can communicate.
Thank you, and I thank you for your program and what you do and what you're representing. May God continue to bless you.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you, Linda. Thanks for calling.
All right. Bye.
Yeah, I like how she snuck that word in there, free Martek.
Well, you brought it up first.
I don't know how it came out, but it was a mistake. Let's face it. Well, you know, it's helping people is one thing, and we do that constantly, and we have directed people, and none of us are looking to say, hey, any one person is going to make a bit of difference. You know, Mike, it's like somebody calling you up saying, hey, I want to get a mortgage, and you run their credit and you say, hey, guess what? You can't have one. Mm-hmm. And you don't say it just that way. I'm just cutting to the quick.
No, but I've sat down with people who, you know, were years away from getting from qualifying for a mortgage, and those people appreciated what I did, yeah. And they referred me future business.
There you go.
So, right. You know, what comes around goes around. I'm absolutely a firm believer.
We're all big believers in the circle, and we've been very, very blessed, and we've been able to help and answer a whole bunch of questions for a lot of people. So, when I look at somebody like Linda, and I think she said she's a teacher. And there's words 403B, which means it's a nonprofit, which is either teachers or nonprofit hospital savings accounts. Money's put in that you don't pay tax on, and at some point you start taking it out, and now it's going to be subject to tax. And if you're over 59 and one half, you don't have a penalty, but it's always going to be subject to ordinary income tax. So very often these instruments can be rolled away from certain vehicles into another vehicle. There's no easy answer as to what is the best vehicle over the phone. There's no such thing. You got to look individually. And I've had people that have had two and three different vehicles under their circumstances, what they're looking to accomplish.
You know, I had a similar customer call me the other day about they were waiting to file for their Social Security until they get to 66, until they get their full Social Security.
Right.
And what we were talking about is getting a reverse mortgage from the age of 62 till they reach 66, so to fill in the income gap.
There you go.
So, you know, that is another technique that someone like that can use as well. That's not a bad
idea. See, a reverse mortgage, folks, simply means you don't have to make a payment. You get a loan. You can get a line of credit. It's a very, very, very nice system, and I've seen it do magnificent things for a lot of people. Like anything, it's not for everybody, but anybody that has questions on there, Mike's the person that would talk to you. You can call in and ask questions on the radio, and hey, I had a client, not a client, off the radio show some years ago, a lady in Fort Pierce who was 82 years old, who lived in that same house for almost 50 years and had no air conditioning. Now, those of you that live in Florida, especially this last month or two, and especially if you went without power for the last week or three.
You know how it feels.
You know how it feels. Now, you can imagine doing it's that hot. Well, she got a reverse mortgage and put central air in the house, and she didn't have to make a payment.
Yeah.
I tell you, this woman just became a different person.
It's such a versatile product. You can use it for projects like that, or you can use it for retirement planning as well.
Yeah. I've seen nothing. And I've heard bad things about it, but you know, here's the reality. Nothing is free.
That's right.
You're going to pay the cost to get it.
Well, the knock on them is just that there are fees, and the interest accrues.
Yeah.
But it gets deferred until the end.
But see,
when you die or you sell.
I remember this one guy called in on a radio show. I don't know if it was on this show or the other one. And he was mad about insurance companies. And I think, Dan was on. Dan was the independent insurance agent. And the guy says, well, insurance companies are thieves. You know, they just don't want to do anything. And the guy says, well, do you have insurance for this thing that, you know, is not that you want to get collected on? He goes, no. He said, well, why would you think an insurance company would pay if you didn't buy insurance to cover it?
That's like trying to win the lottery but not playing it.
That's like, let me win the lottery.
I should win, but I didn't buy a ticket.
Well, it's just like having a car accident and going out and getting car insurance the next day and exactly. Say, oh, by the way, cover me yesterday, right?
Well, you know,
retroactive.
There are a lot of abuses, like particularly workers' comp over the years. There's been a lot of abuses. Exactly that happens.
Yeah.
Somebody gets injured, they back post it, you know, and now the insurance companies are getting smarter.
But there's little words called fraud.
It is fraud.
You know, and fraud means you can go to jail. Little minor side effects. Mm-hmm. So the key thing is. And today, with the power of technology, I got to tell you, almost instantly they know right from wrong and what's going on. In fact, Mike, how many times in Vince people apply for life insurance and they lie on the application? I have said 80 times, don't lie, period, 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 because now that's a mark against you forever. Tell the truth, and if you get turned down, it's the truth, and you now correct that problem, and the next time you apply, it's there that you've corrected it, whether it's a health problem or whatever it might be. And it's no different than somebody saying, Mike, I want to get a mortgage, and you run a credit and say, no, you can't have it. But here's what you need to do to correct your problems. And it might take you 6 months, might take you a year to correct the problem, but you can get it done.
Sure. You just have to get on the right track.
You have to get on the right track. 1-888-2. The only way to get off the right track is to die. And sometimes that works.
We're going to do that. Not today, necessarily, but
well, we hope.
There's no way to get out of here alive, I hate to tell you.
Well, I know that.
Yeah. I still Pastor Dave today. Taught me this.
Not going to talk about the show, are you?
For Mike, had a caller that they were listening in earlier to your comments about with a high deductible and, you know, how to deal with repairs to your home and such. And they mentioned the PACE funding. Now, that's PACE being a acronym for something. They'd heard about this. It's based on the equity in your home in terms of repairs and especially for emergency things like this.
Well, I'm not familiar with that term, but there are many programs out there that cater to renovations or mm-hmm. repairs.
Okay.
I'm doing a mortgage right now for a person whose house completely burnt down. Mm. And they had forced place insurance by their current lender. Forced place insurance means that if you don't get insurance, then the lender is going to go out there and acquire for you, and they don't shop around for the best policy for you.
Right.
So as a result, they didn't have proper coverage on the property, so now they have to rely on what we're doing is an FHA 203K program, and that's a renovation loan. So what we're doing is they're using the existing foundation on the property because this house completely burned down to the ground, and we're rebuilding the property with a renovation loan. And you can do that just to change your cabinets in your kitchen, or you can use it for a program just like if your house completely burns down to the ground, or anything in between.
Thank you.
PACE probably is an acronym for a home equity type of loan or some kind of loan, but the reality is this.
Probably not the best type of program. A home equity loan, they're going to come out and appraise your property, and if it's damaged in the storm, if you've lost the roof, they're not going to close on that, that mortgage.
Right.
You would at that point, you would specifically need one of these types of renovation loans that deals with a house that has issues.
1-888-221-8990. Well, we had a couple of pretty good calls there today, you know.
Some been very active.
Yes.
A couple of questions telephonically today.
Telephonically.
Hey,
yeah.
Boy, those multi-syllables.
Have to pay for more than three syllables, so
that's more than a whole mouthful.
You know, your education is showing.
I know. I'm sorry. I try to hide it.
You look like you're edumacated.
Yeah.
1-888-221-8990. So, hey, those of you that have some weathered some extreme problems, I wish we had Dan Warren here today. He had a ton of phone calls this morning on the morning show when it comes to insurance and coverages. One of the things that came up again was flood insurance. Mm. What happens is, folks, wind-driven rain is not covered under flood insurance. Wind-driven rain is called wind coverage, and that's normally for hurricane type of damage or tornado or something, and normally it has a pretty substantial deductible, 2-4%. So if you had a $200,000 house and you had a 2% deductible, that's $4,000. So that's a pretty good chunk of change you've got to come up with. Flood insurance, on the other hand, is not wind-driven rain. It's water rising that comes into your house from outside of the house, and that is federal program under almost all circumstances. And there are different rates for flood insurance depending on if you're in a flood zone or, quote, not in a flood zone, and what flood zone you're in.
Flood zones change from time to time.
Yeah,
so we found out in Martin County last year.
Yeah, I think Victoria said her flood insurance is $450 a year because she's not, quote, in a zone, but they raised it from 200 to 400 because they changed the zone. You know, and like you just said.
Well, so I have a similar situation with my house where I've lived in that house for 16 years, and for 14 of those years I was in a flood zone.
Ooh.
And they took me out of a flood zone. So my insurance went the opposite way. It went from $800 down to $400. Wow. I still carry the flood insurance.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Let me take this call. Mm-hmm. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yes, Mr. Martek, this is Pauline.
Pauline, how are you?
I am good, thank you very much.
You sound good.
Thank you. Anyway, my question, could you explain to me about this money laundry thing? Because I would like to understand it. I don't understand.
Let's just give you an example. You have a drug dealer husband.
She does.
I know. I don't know. I don't know if you. I don't know if you remember him, yeah. But he collects cash like crazy, and he's got $100,000 sitting in his bedroom in boxes. And you decide to go put that in the bank, and the bank says, "Where did that money come from?" And you, being the wonderful person you are, say, "It came from my husband's drug dealing business." The odds are very good. The bank is going to be very upset with that because that's an illegal activity, and that's called money laundering. We're trying to move the money out of a illegal spot and put it into a legal spot.
Usually it's done through businesses, usually.
Now, what I'm trying to say, I'm giving you a crummy example. My CPA sitting over here saying, "Joe, where'd you come up with that example?"
That usually it's taking ill-gotten gains and putting it through a legitimate business in order to disguise the money.
So let's just take your drug dealer husband again. Remember him. He's got this $100,000 sitting in a box in the bedroom, and he decides to go out and buy a laundromat with that money, and then pretending that that laundromat is making this money, and he goes to the bank with the laundromat money and says, "Hey, my laundromat's doing $10,000 a day." And he said, "How many machines do you have?" He said, "I got two."
but they're very big.
They're large.
So what I
want to use, it's the size of the store.
Yeah. Those machines run 24 hours a day and they get $100 a minute. What I'm trying to say is every once in a while a crook is pretty obvious, and they make stupid things, and they get caught. But the key is, it's trying to push money through the system without paying tax on it. Ill-gotten gains, illegal gains, money laundering. Is that making some sense?
Yeah. The launder part is actually taking that, as I said, the dirty money, and turning it into clean money by putting it into a legitimate business.
So they call that laundering.
They call that laundering.
But it doesn't mean we really washed it.
No, you don't. They might be washing it, too, if they have a laundry.
That's right. Now, the moral of the story is, you can't have this husband anymore with that money in the bedroom.
Okay.
And besides, your mother's mad at you for marrying him in the first place, so we understand this.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
This beats using pizzas as metaphors.
Well, thank
Joe.
You very much.
Okay, Pauline.
Nice
anytime. You have a wonderful day. Bye.
Thanks for the call, Pauline.
Do you mind if I just remind you that you're listening to Christian Radio WCNO in Palm City?
The good news station. Do you think being a drug dealer would be hard to be a Christian at the same time?
I would think so.
This is pretty much a dichotomy there.
Joe, I did look up the information on PACE. It's a program that was passed by the California and Florida state legislatures. It deals with renewable energy, energy improvement, and improvements on hurricane protection.
Mike, you hear that?
Yes, and also FHA has a renewable energy program too. So if you wanted to, say, refinance your house and at the same time put solar panels up, but those solar panels don't technically add as much value to the house as you wanted to. Well, what they'll do on that type of program is they'll let you go over 100% of the value of the house just so you can finance in those energy efficient improvements.
So there are some programs out there. Very good for both. Hey, listen.
You know what, Alan? That was great.
Alan,
I can't say I ever used that program.
I would
say. But it exists, I know.
You see, attorneys can come in handy on occasion, especially if they've got an iPhone that they can check out while we're listening.
Well, you know, all the criminal innuendos that you've been talking about, and I'm a numbers person, I figure that if we put in jail everybody that you talked about as far as committing crime, the total sentence would be over 572 years already in this one show. So
my question is, how'd you find the 2 years? I understand the 570.
Well, that was combining four misdemeanors.
Four misdemeanors, 572 years.
No, he added those up for the 2 years. Well, the other 5 7.
Was there a plea bargain in there somewhere?
A flea bargain.
It's a flea bargain. Yeah.
You know, it's an interesting thing, but you know, the three of us, especially Vince Rosino, CPA, Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, Joe Martek, financial advisor. Money laundering is a monster subject, but you know what happens? Back again, if you don't know what that word means, it just doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
My first real estate transaction in the mortgage industry, I sat down at my first closing, and this goes back almost 30 years ago. The borrower came in with a cigar box. He opens it up at the closing, and it's full of $100 bills. So he's counting it out, and he didn't have quite enough in that one. So he went out in his car and got another one. Now, back then, there were no
They didn't ask about that,
They didn't
right?
ask. Right.
Wow.
Well, you know, I know a bartender, and she collects her tips.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't go to the bank every week with them, but she'll wait till she gets $2,000 or $3,000. Then she goes to the bank. Well, every month or so, she's going in with this $2,000 or $3,000. Finally, the bank, they pulled her aside, and they were looking for money laundering, mm-hmm. because it's cash money. And she had to explain where she worked, and if they wanted to find her employer, mm-hmm. they wouldn't understand, you know, that this is what happened.
That's a scenario we deal with on a daily basis, for bartenders, servers, food servers. You know, it's a lot of cash transaction. In the mortgage industry, we do not like to see cash deposits.
Right? No.
But
gaming,
you know,
industry is big.
As long as you have a history of it and you can explain it, then it is acceptable.
Well, you see, when it comes to getting a mortgage, you have to prove that you can afford to make the payment.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that a novel idea?
Yeah. And they want to make sure that you didn't borrow the down payment.
There you go.
Could be a borrowed in cash. So, you know, we have to document all types of cash transactions.
Now, let me ask you a question. There's a difference between borrowing and being a gift. So if I gift $5,000 to my son so he can go make a payment or buy a house, make a down payment, that's allowed, right?
Yeah, as long as it's not in cash,
right?
Because we can't document that that's truly where the money came from.
Well, on the other hand, if it comes back, you know, I want to document my bank account to make sure that I wasn't laundering, quote,
illegal. With FHA, in fact, we would ask for your bank statement to verify that the funds are in there and not a cash deposit into your account.
And there's nothing wrong with
that.
And
if it's over $14,000, Joe, you'd have to consider a gift tax return.
See, now, why do we have accountants? You know, here we come, taxes again. But literally, there are rules. There's rules that you have to comply with. And if you don't want to get audited and if you don't want to get called down by the IRS, you comply.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with complying with the rules as long as you know what they are.
And there's nothing illegal about a cash gift.
No.
But the thing is, that could be acceptable in some types of mortgage transactions, but not a FHA one.
Gotcha.
That's one of the things that we do when someone comes into the office and they explain the scenario. We can recommend a mortgage program that suits their needs.
Counseling.
Exactly.
So no laundering money.
Correct.
Okay.
Unless you leave change in your pants and it goes in the washing machine, that's probably close.
That's it. You know, boy, we've all had laundered money, haven't we?
Definitely cleaned.
You know, yeah. Have it nice and
dry cleaned.
No, usually the dry cleaner.
Yeah, dry cleaner takes it out.
I think the dry cleaner keeps that money, right?
Yes, yes.
Well, we're just about out of time, but keep this phone number handy. If you don't want to talk to us on the radio, you call the radio station anytime. Talk to Pastor Dave or Tom or Karen, whoever takes your phone call. 1-888-221-8990. We're here to help people. And like I said before, we've got a group that includes Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, Greg Fasula, attorney, Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, Vince Rosino, CPA, and Joe Martek, financial advisor, and a special guest every once in a while, into Alan Love, retired prosecuting attorney. And we got 15 seconds.
Yes,
Alan, don't you have any words of wisdom here that you can, Rosh Hashanah is upon us today?
Yes, Happy New Year to all of my Messianic Jewish friends, and have a healthy, happy, happy New Year.
Yes. Way to go.
You've been listening to the Team Martek program. The Team Martek program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martek. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martek program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martek is available at 772-678-7725.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look for